I'm always mindful of those prayer requests that are slow in getting answered. And there's times when someone comes to me and they say, you know, Stan, didn't Jesus say, ask and it'll be given, seek and you'll find, knock, the door will be opened. You know, didn't he say that? Well, yeah. And usually I can kind of tell that it's about this subject of unanswered prayer. And I dig in a little bit and then I hear the story. Somebody might say, well, I've been praying for my husband to stop drinking. He hasn't stopped drinking yet. I've been praying for a job, but I can't find one. I'm praying for my wife's depression, and it just hasn't seemed to change any. I've been praying for guidance about my job or my career or what I should do, and I'm just not getting any answers. So I thought, well, let's spend a little time on unanswered prayer today. Because I fear, especially for those who are young in the faith. And this has nothing to do with years on earth. This has a lot to do with maturity. So I've decided this morning to use a little outline that I learned. I don't want to date myself too much, but it's from Fort Wayne Bible College, a now defunct educational location. And it probably wasn't even original with my professor. And I'm going to tell you up front, it might seem real simplistic. But as we root around a little bit this morning in this message, I think it will encourage you in your prayer life. Let me begin this morning by saying there is one perfect parent. His name is God. And He gets to work with you as a father figure. As a perfect brother figure in Jesus, He gets to work with you. As the perfect counselor, the Holy Spirit works with you. And in light of this magnificent perfection in the Trinity that sits upon the throne of grace, we can't do better. Because we understand, you know, God wants the absolute best for you. He loves you. He loves you. So when we ask for something, when we pray to God, and the request is wrong, God's going to say no. He's going to say no. There are such things as wrong or inappropriate prayer requests. You understand that, right? You know, three famous disciples, Peter, James, and John, they're up on a hillside with Jesus. They accompany Jesus to the top of this mountain, and the transfiguration takes place. God's full glory descends on Jesus, and these three disciples, they're frozen, you know. I can imagine what that'd be like. And they hem-haw and stammer around, and finally they just say, hey, you know, Jesus, allow us to build some shelters up here, and we'll just live up here. We'll just bask in your glory. This is great. And what did Jesus say? In a word, he said, no. No, boys, we've got some work to do down in the plains, down where people live. We're on mission, remember. We're not just going to stay up here and bask in my glory, my Father's glory. We're not going to do that, guys. Sorry, wrong. No. Wrong request. One time, two of those dudes, James and John, they were getting kind of haughty-totty. You probably read this passage. And they went to Jesus and they asked if they could make reservations for heaven, you know. Set one of them kind of on Jesus' left in a chair, the other on the right in a chair. They just wanted to be so close to Jesus. One on the left, one on the right. Can you arrange that for us, Jesus? Remember Jesus' answer to that request? No. I'm not going to grant you that one, fellas. It's a wrong request. Another time, Jesus and the disciples were kind of denied a travel permit through a certain part of Samaria. And boy, you know, that kind of aggravated the sons of thunder. And they just asked Jesus, you know, should we just kind of wipe that area out? Bring down fire onto that region from heaven. Lord, let's do that. Now, he could have done that. But Jesus says, no. I didn't come to torch people. I came to transform people. I'm not going to grant that request. You see, the disciples were fully capable, and they were walking with Jesus. They were fully capable of making goofy requests that got the word no as a response. So today in 2020, I'm still writing 2019 on the checks, you know. Are you capable of making wrong requests to God? I tell you what, I am. I do. And I probably will in the future. Are you capable of making requests that are totally self-serving? Oh boy, I tell you, I am. Are you capable of making requests that are materialistic or convenience-oriented or short-sighted or immature? I am. But I tell you what, my hindsight is always 20/20, and I can thank God for the times that He said no to some of my requests. Now, this dates me. I thought about not sharing this, but I'll share. I remember back in the day when I answered the call to full-time Christian service, answered the call to ministry. I wanted to sell the house, and Cindy and I talked about this. We're going to sell the house and move to Findlay and go to seminary in Findlay, because I was just old enough that they had this three-year course. And at the end of 3 years, you got your license back then. 3 years, man, that's a lot better than seven, I thought, you know. Mathematician that I was. And so we put the house on the market. Let's move to Findlay. It did not sell. Never sold. I said, well, he's saying no to this deal. I wonder if there's any colleges around. So I went over to Fort Wayne, took one class, see if I could learn after so many years of being out of college or being out of school. Broke the curve, loved the class, ended up staying for 4 years. Got that taken care of, and I still had this desire to go to Findlay. And so put the house on the market again, see what happened. It immediately sold. We were scrambling to get all the paperwork done. And so 3 years turned into seven. So if you've been praying diligently about a matter, you know, and nothing's happening, it's good to just kind of revisit that prayer request and say, you know, why is he saying no right now? Maybe the request is destructive in ways that you don't understand. You know, we cannot see the future. God can. Number two this morning. If the timing is wrong, God will say slow. And I'm going to speak to the parents just a little bit here this morning. You know, have you noticed in your child rearing challenges that second only to the word no, the words not yet rank as the highest? Just miserable words in the English language. Just awful. You're leaving on a 900-mile car trip. And you get up to the toll road and you stop at the first gate. Well, you don't stop at the gate if you got one of those things in your window. Boy, am I getting off track. And you stop, and you've been on the road maybe 50 miles. And what do the kids say? Are we there yet? And what do? We roll our eyes and say, oh, it's going to be a long trip. Oh, slow. They think, man, hurry up, Dad. Hurry up, Mom. Get this car in gear. It's 4 days before Johnny's birthday. And Johnny says, hey, can I open my present? It's only 4 days away. Can I open my present now? Not yet, Johnny. Oh, man. Another little guy says, hey, I'm 6 years old, Mom. Count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can I go over to Right Choice and just kind of hang out with the guys? We're just going to kind of walk around the store and just make people miserable. Can I go? I'm 6 now. I'm getting old. No, not yet. Oh, Mom. Or Mom, I'm 13 years. I'm a teenager now. Can I wear makeup to school every day now? Come on, can I? No, dear. Not yet, Jane. How children hate those words, not yet. And yet, aren't we all children? We're all children. Children of the Lord. A little bit of children in all of us. And we all want God to meet every one of our needs, our wants, immediately. We want it now. Like Baruka. Willy Wonka. I want it now. You don't understand, God, how badly I need this. Not 3 years from now, but I want it now. And yet, let it be known, God is no more intimidated by our desire and our childish fixation on instant gratification than our wise parents were. He simply chooses from time to time to shake his head and say, not yet. And this is critical this morning. I want you to get this. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Very often, he's not saying no. He's simply saying not yet. Timing is not right yet. Trust me, I know what I'm doing, God says. It's all right. I have my reasons. Trust me. As the song says. God says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. Ah, this is good stuff. Boy, I tell you, you can take that to the bank. You can rest on that. And one reason why God encouraged people to pray and not lose heart is because sometimes our requests are perfect. They're okay. There's nothing wrong with our requests. It's just the timing thing. And God is saying, I'm going to grant that, but in my time. I probably should have talked to Cindy about what I'm going to say next. You know, we've been praying about something for years now. We're in the middle of experiencing a kind of miraculous answer to prayer. And I'm sorry I have to stay general on it, but we started praying about a certain matter many years ago. And I mean praying digitally. Really, Cindy is the great prayer warrior in our family. We tried to scheme and plan this and that, and we tried to do things our way, but finally we had to understand that God was saying, wait. And it's been a multi-year prayer effort, but the last couple of weeks it seems that God has begun to open doors for some folks that we dearly love. So please be careful in insisting that you know better than God on the timing of answered prayer. If the request is wrong, God's going to say no. You better change the request or let it go. But if the timing is wrong, God loves us so much that He's going to say, just slow down now. Wait for the right time. And thirdly this morning, our third one is this. If you are wrong, God's going to say, grow. Oh man, I don't like point three. I don't like that one at all. Kind of sobering statement. If you're wrong, isn't it a lot easier to point your finger at God and say, hey, you didn't answer my request, so you must not exist. Boy, oh boy. A lot easier to say that than it is to look in the mirror and say, maybe I'm the problem. Over the years, I've counseled people on the mystery and the agony of unanswered prayer. And only a handful of people have come to me and said, you know, Lord, I think I might be the problem of the unanswered prayer. Now, when they say that, they have to pick me off the floor. Because that is an unnatural response. It's almost always, you know, Stan, explain to me why God isn't moving my mountain. Well, yeah, it's just human nature. Now, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. It's easier. It's just easier to point a finger of accusation at God and to look at the mirror and say, eh, maybe it's me. Psalm 66:18 nails it for us. I don't know if it's in your notes, but it says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Psalm 66:18. In other words, if I'm leading a life of disobedience, oh, he's gonna withhold a little bit. Matthew 5:23-24 tells us that if there's relational discord, if there are private little wars and coups going on between people, if there's broken friendships and relationships, Jesus says it cuts us off from close fellowship with God because we're wrapped up in all that junk. And He says, drop everything. He says, drop everything and attempt to reconcile those relationships. Then go to your altar and worship and pray. And if those passages aren't sober enough, here's one from 1 Peter 3. It says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Grant them honor so that your prayers won't be hindered. Now, that explains a lot. Of course, vice versa is true. Wives, live with your husbands in an understanding way. Honor them so that your prayers won't be hindered. There was a time in the Old Testament where, despite clear instruction from God to only give the best lambs, only sacrifice the best unblemished lambs, Israelites decided to take their best lambs to market. Hey, you get a better price at market for that dude. So what ended up being taken to the temple to sacrifice were the lame, the blind, the nearly dead lambs. And Malachi addressed that. Malachi is one of those books in the Bible that you better be sitting down when you read it. Because God basically says in the book of Malachi to those Israelites, He says, you know, I tell you what, He says, after disobeying me and dishonoring me, you had the audacity to plead for my favor? You've got to be kidding. You mock me with your disobedience, and without batting an eyelash, you make requests and fully expect me to grant them? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. So if the truth were told, often the only obstacle standing in the way of you receiving your desperately needed miracle, it's you. It's you. It's me. The requests aren't always wrong. Most of them are probably right. And you know, I don't think the timing is such a big deal with God. I think He's fairly easygoing when it comes to the timing of things. He has a heart inclined to meet our requests, but when we're wrong, God says, come on now, grow. Grow. And I'm thinking that when He says, grow, He's saying, you know, if you grow, I'll open the floodgates and you won't be able to contain the goodies that's coming your way. But you got to grow. In the book of James, the brother of Jesus says the fervent prayer of a righteous person has great power. But if you want to pull the plug on the power of prayer, that's a lot of P's. just dishonor God in some area of your life on a continuing basis. You know, the psalmist says, if you do that, if you regard iniquity in your heart, if you're leading a sloppy life, your prayers are not going to be answered. You know, and God is saying there's such power in prayer. Such power there. So when the request is right, the timing is right, when you are right, man, Katie, bar the door because you're going to be blessed. That's how He works. So my fourth point this morning is when timing is right, God's going to say, let's go. None of us know how badly God wants to change the impossible circumstances in your life. I doubt many of us understand just how badly He wants to touch that untouchable individual in your neighborhood that you deal with. I bet all of us underestimate how badly God wants to move those mountains that we have been just kind of looking at for a while. But when everything gets lined up, the request gets answered. It is perfection because God is doing it. And Weston, I'm going to get rid of page 5. All right? Because as we were singing this morning, and I realized the sickness in our community, the issues coming up, the surgeries being scheduled, and all of that, it'd be good to have a time of healing this morning. So I'm going to ask Terry, if you would please, to come up and just play something softly as we do go through this. And if you've got an area of your life, and the book of James says, if you have a request, if you have a need for healing, come before the elders. I'm going to ask the elders to come on up. And you be anointed for that healing. For that situation. So if there's a situation going on that you'd like to be prayed for, feel free to come and be anointed this morning.